Barry, Vermont. He's been doing some great work. My Vermont is for Vermont organization teamed up with him a couple years ago with Martha, because Pastor Ed Wheeler, do you need to turn on your mic? There, thing. Wrote a program called Americanism Marxism. And we helped him take it around the state and had probably seven or eight public meetings.
At least,
and it was great. And we got great attendance and we got a lot of good information out. So without further ado, Ed Wheeler.
Thank you, Gregory. And thank you for organizing this, Gregory. We do appreciate it. I'm not speaking for any political party or other group, but I'm probably speaking for a lot of the 80 million people who call themselves MAGA. And you can call us anything you want to, but we're here. And we're here today.
Louder.
What?
Louder.
Louder?
Yeah. Come closer. What, can you come closer? I don't know.
The cameras, right. Okay.
Is yours on?
We are here to urge all the people of Vermont to contact their state representatives to sustain and not to override the veto of Governor Scott over some disastrous legislation. I want to address H-289 in particular, but first I want to make some big picture comments. People are asking me sometimes, what is wrong with our country and our state? Are people crazy or what? What we are witnessing is not the result of incompetence or craziness or accidental events. This is the late stage of a 110-year effort of Marxists to transform America. They began with churches, then they moved to schools, then they went on to political parties, and now they've penetrated all branches and levels of the government. What did a recent president mean when he promised a fundamental transformation of America? He meant turning our constitutional republic based on faith in God into an atheistic communist state. That was Barack Hussein Obama. His friend William Ayers called it marching through the institutions. The mentor for Hillary Clinton was Saul Alinsky, and he gave their advice in the Rules for Radicals. The plan is to infiltrate, contaminate, dominate, and when necessary, eliminate all institutions that compete with the government. The Marxist Democrats use fear-mongering, gaslighting, cognitive dissonance, confusion, funding corruption, and the politicization of the judiciary to achieve control of the people that Lynn referred to. Marxist Democrats want us to be totally dependent on government. Confused, weak, blind, addicted, ignorant, sick, and helpless. The game plan was explained in 1966 as the Clower-Pippen strategy. Professors at Columbia University, open the borders and make the government spend itself into oblivion. In the past few years, we've watched illegal aliens flood into America. They number 20 times the population of Vermont. For every man, woman, and child in Vermont, 20 people have been allowed to enter through the southern border. They outnumber the population of 38 states. At the same time, our national debt has risen to over $35 trillion. That's more than $100,000 for every man, woman, and child in America. So if you're a family of four, that means $400,000 is your portion of that debt. Okay, so what do we want? We want a fundamental restoration of America. We want Americanism. We want the values and principles that are officially and clearly defined in the Declaration of Independence. And these are safeguarded by our U.S. Constitution. And this includes individual independence. That's right, if the media is watching, we do not want your socialism. We do not want your secularism. We do not want dependence on government because we trust in God, like it says on every piece of currency we have. Now, some people are asking, if we have such respect for the rule of law, how can we back a person like President Trump after his guilty sentence? Well, this is easy. The trial was not a legal trial. President Trump used his own $130,000 for a no disclosure agreement, and that was perfectly legal. And then this was booked as a legal expense, which it was. But at worst, this booking, or so-called falsification of records, would have been a misdemeanor. But the statute of limitations had already run out over 7 years. But the case says he should have booked it as a campaign expense. But can you imagine if he had booked it as a campaign expense, what would they have said about that? They would have objected. At any rate, there could have only been one misdemeanor. But the Democrats, let's face it, they're masters of inflation. They took one misdemeanor that was outdated and inflated it to 34 felonies. And if that really were a valid legal concept, think about the U.S. Congress has spent $17 million in recent years on hush money for sexual misconduct. Should that money be booked as campaign expenses? Well, they're not doing it. But the trial in New York has been marred by constitutional violations, due process issues, and prosecutorial misconduct. It's been called the worst decision in 60 years by the eminent Harvard Law professor Alan Dershowitz. But this is not the first time an innocent person has been unjustly convicted. Nelson Mandela spent time in jail as a convicted felon. Martin Luther King Jr. did also. John Bunyan, the writer of Pilgrim's Progress, spent at least 6 years in prison. John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, John the Baptist also come to mind, along with many others. But most importantly, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the most innocent man who ever lived, was convicted and sent to execution. They have all told us that it is dangerous to tell the truth. And I support all of those convicted people. Now let's talk about H289, the Global Warming Solutions Act. The goal of net zero is unnecessary, destructive, and unachievable. Even the proponents of this bill admit that the goals it specifies are impossible to reach. And when the goals are not reached, any person can file suit against the state, and taxpayers have to pick up the legal expenses. At that point, court-ordered corrections could have even greater devastation for our state than the original law. Most basically, the whole climate alarmist movement is based on one colossal lie, that there's too much human-made CO2. Our atmosphere is made of only one part CO2 out of 2,000. Listen carefully. I challenge any expert anywhere to prove otherwise. Show us the physics. Show us the chemistry. Don't just give us slogans. In addition, most CO2 is produced by oceans. It's not even produced by human beings. Do not fall for the phrase settled science. What they really mean is settled silence. The only science you will find in this whole movement is political science, how to control you. Today, the largest solar panel company in Vermont is on the verge of financial collapse. This should cause legislators to reconsider overriding the governor's veto of H-289. Does Vermont really want to spend up to $1 billion or more? That would be $1,600 for every man, woman, and child in Vermont to see the state plastered with monstrous solar panel arrays such as been proposed for Addison, Bennington, and Rutland counties. In many cases, these facilities will be owned by out-of-state interests reaping the benefits of Vermont's tax-generated subsidies. Okay, so what should we do? Give up your comfort. Get out of your comfort zone. Too many people in America today are like the couch potato who complains about weeds in his lawn, but he never gets out and mows the lawn. He says, why doesn't someone do something? We are the someone. There is no one else. Vermont and America need to get up and go. You know that 50% of Christians, my own background, are not even registered to vote? And 50% of those registered do not vote, bother to vote in the general elections, and the primaries are even worse. That's the problem with America today. All I ask is for people to spend as much time taking care of your country as you spend on your favorite hobby or watching professional sports. Any Republican who makes it through the primary this year has my full support, including those with whom I disagree on some very important issues. But they will always be better than the Marxist Democrats. Governor Scott has given the Democrats a face-saving escape hatch. The disastrous bills can be left behind, and they can blame it on the veto. If the veto is overridden, the damage will be left squarely on their shoulders. We will remember in November, and our neighbors will remember also. I know of hardworking taxpayers who have already decided to move out of Vermont if these disastrous bills are made into law. So call all your representations. Tell them to sustain that veto. With God's help, I believe that we can work together to make Vermont real again. We can make Vermont sensible again. We can make Vermont free again. We can make Vermont affordable again. And we can make Vermont and America great again. Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to make a little adjustment because